Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Overnight America. We continue for one last hour. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Like the first hour of the show where you got me crying. That was a tough one, real tough one. Yeah, I lost my dog. I had to put him down on Friday, and it was a very difficult time. One that you try to prepare yourself for mentally, and you just can't. And if you'd like to hear me cry about that for the first segment of the show, you can by going to KMOX.com/ONA. Not looking forward to going home tonight. You know, every night I would go home, give him belly rubs and, you know, rub his ears and hear him, give the noise. You know, it feels good to get that hug. This will be the first night coming home from work and he won't be there. So not looking forward to that. All right, so we set our clocks back an hour. You should have, at least, unless you're one of those people that decides to just leave their clocks the way they are, because you'll say, another couple of months, it'll just correct itself, and you're too lazy to do it, unless you're one of those people. But most people agree they don't like to flippy-flop the times twice a year. Most Americans across the country, according to a poll that's out, the AP reporting this, we'll see their clocks roll back, blah, 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 blah. 7 out of 10 Americans prefer not to switch back and forth to mark daylight saving time. Are you one of those people? Are you tired of this? You think it's dumb? You just want to forget about it and just leave the clock the way it should be, which is the same time. You just don't touch it. Set it and forget it. That's what I like. 436-7900 is the number you can call or text in on that line. Also, 800-925-1120. Set it and forget it. At least 7 state legislators have backed asking Congress to allow year-round daylight saving time in the past few years. Missouri is one of those states that has been brought up in the past. They give an example in this AP story. It says, Jason Oliver, a 43-year-old retired soldier from Rolla, Missouri, is among those who see the clock changes as just messing things up. He doesn't really care which time gets picked. To me, I don't see the need to keep flip-flopping between times, he said. I'm like that. It is really unnecessary, I think. You know, I'm tired of it. I don't like doing it. And the weird thing was, on Saturday night, I told my son about it, and he's like, okay, let's go change all the clocks. It was like a fun activity for him. He got into it. He's like, okay, do we got any more clocks? Aww. Do we got any more clocks? Aww. And then I said, we'll call the neighbors up. Let's see if we can go over to the neighbors' homes. We'll switch the clocks for them too. And then everyone's happy. They don't have to do it. This is great. Let's go to Steven in Sunset Hills. What's going on? Hi, Steven.
Yes.
Hi.
Well, I am with you. I find that this is totally ridiculous. I have 4 years, and supposedly in 2017, this was supposed to be cleared up, and the government didn't do anything about it. Now I heard that individual states like Oregon, California, Washington, Florida, they're doing it on their own. Mm-hmm. Why can't we do it on our own?
And it's been brought up in Missouri. Nothing's come from it, I would say. There's it's some weird things that are out there about it all. And everyone's tired of it, you know. We just got to get set in stone and just do it.
Well, it's in my case, I've got 14 clocks in the house, the garage, and in the cars, and in the basement. And I have to go over and change my mother-in-law's clock because she don't understand how to do it. And then from there, I have to go to a friend of mine's house who's got some physical problems with his hands, and he can't do it. So I wind up changing anywhere between 20 and 27 clocks.
That's a lot of clocks. So you have 14 in your own home. That's a lot of clocks, Stephen, to have around your home.
Well, it's this way. I have three clocks set to wake me up to go to work, mm-hmm. because if I don't, I'll turn the bedroom clock off, and then a clock in the bathroom go off. I'll go turn that off, and then by the time I get to the third one, I'm wide awake.
Yeah. You know, do you remember that opening scene in Back to the Future? Marty McFly wakes up, and he's at Doc's house, and he has all those alarm clocks. There's like a thousand alarm clocks all going off at the same time. Now imagine trying to change all of those clocks. That's what I think about your home when you say you have 14 to set.
Well, undoubtedly, the scientists had a way to shut them all off and change them whenever.
Yeah.
But he probably lives in Arizona where they stopped doing it 20 years ago.
We need to just do that. Let's just do it and do it. All right. Thanks, Stephen. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Just do it. Wave that magic wand. President Trump, where are you? It's like the Scooby-Dooby-Doo. President Trump, where are you? Let's just do it now. I think 7 out of 10 Americans are right, and the 3 out of 10 Americans are wrong right off the bat. In fact, he tweeted about this. He tweeted and he said he'd support this. He'd be fine. Just pick one and go with it. Indiana joined, and they did some of their weird thing. Indiana's a little bit weird. They had that whole debate in the state, and it really made some people upset. I think that was when Mitch Daniels was governor still. And there's that little sliver of the bottom portion of Indiana. If you're looking at it from west to east, the little bottom southwest corner that I think is in central time and the rest of the state's in eastern time. So it's kind of weird, too. The state itself is split up when it comes to the different time zones. Yeah, Florida's governor in March signed what would be dubbed the Sunshine Protection Act to keep Sunshine State on daylight saving time all year long. I love it. Let's do it. Let's do it, Missouri. Can we get this done? 436-7900. That's the number here. Or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, here we continue. You know, without the whole daylight saving time, I feel like we could bring this up twice a year, the same thing and take calls or do whatever, but I think most people are tired. They just want it to happen. Just get rid of it. Just pick a time and stick with it, man. Daylight saving time or not, whatever. Just don't flip it back and forth. Don't do the flippity floppity. Fox 2 did a story about organizations trying to raise the age. It's called Raise the Age, which is the idea is, let's say you're 17 years old and you're tried as an adult for a crime. Oh, that is so terrible, they say, because, you know, it could ruin that person. Well, there's some crimes that are very serious that you need to treat them as adults for committing these crimes. And we're talking about 17. We're not talking about 14. All right. So there's an organization that's out there called Raise the Age, trying to make certain cases so that it would automatically mean you would go to the system so you're treated as a minor, not as an adult. So here's the Fox 2 story.
Metropolitan Congregations United, a faith-based organization, has a request for St. Louis County and city prosecutors when it comes to 17-year-olds. Treat them as youth in the judicial system.
Right now, we have data that shows that, you know, at a certain age that you're more likely to go to prison because young people drop out because of broken systems, school suspensions.
Both Kim Gardner, St. Louis City.
I don't know. Is it really a broken system if you're caught committing a crime and then you're punished for committing the crime? That doesn't sound like a broken system. That sounds like a system that punishes you for committing crimes. See, this is the way that they're using the language in something like this. They make it sound like, oh, little Johnny was jaywalking, 17 years old, and now he's going to jail for it because the police are so terrible and they're out to just harass people. You know, they paint this picture. Like, here, let me keep going.
City Circuit Attorney and Wesley Bell, St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney, were in on the conversation.
I think this is more talking about how we treat young people when they're in any system and how they're trying to raise the age to 18. So a lot of these cases that we see as adults, whether misdemeanor or felonies, will be handled by the juvenile courts.
But I'm not just fighting.
Okay, so keep in mind, misdemeanors or felonies. 17-year-old committing a felony. I know, kids make mistakes. Kids are stupid. It doesn't mean that that can't be taken into consideration. But when we're also looking into the fact that some of these are very serious crimes that could be accused of, that it means that those serious crimes need serious consequences that are associated with it.
For my family today.
Powerful presentations from youth advocates and those whose family has been touched by the legal system shared experiences, some of them like MCU leader Kathy Roch, with the realization that there are disparities among ethnic and economic groups.
I really feel that had my children not been white, they might have ended up in jail. They're now in their 40s. They might still be in jail.
The initiative asked that 17-year-olds have cases handled in the Juvenile Justice Center.
You know, it's funny. She didn't mention what those potential crimes were. So what did your kids do? Okay. And you're saying that the only reason why your kids are out of jail is because they're white and there's the only circumstance available? I don't know.
Rather than automatic certification as adults.
Young people are young people. They make rash decisions, but we have to address the systemic issues with driving them to crime.
When the question was raised about 17-year-olds committing violent crimes,
Now it's someone else's fault that when you're 17, you commit a crime. It's someone else's fault that they committed that crime. Come on now.
Kids who are committing violent crimes will still be held accountable as adults.
Another push to break the pipeline and provide alternatives, resources, and a new narrative for youth.
There's a lot of great organizations that try to stop that from happening. They try to turn these kids' lives around, and they try for whatever they could do, for as much resources that have been afforded to them. So then I decided to go online, because that was the Fox 2 story, raise the age. Okay, so they say, okay, violent crimes, no, those will definitely be treated as an adult. So I went online and I thought, okay, what are some of those nonviolent crimes a 17-year-old could commit that they wouldn't treat as an adult? Okay, let's go through some of these. So theft, larceny, embezzlement, arson. Okay, these are some property crimes. So theft being, okay, let's say group of 17-year-olds, let me just throw some potentials out at you. And this doesn't mean it's associated with any individual. It's just hypothetical. Goes around breaking into cars. They have a car break-in ring, and they break into 100 different cars. But since they're not violent crimes, and they broke into hundreds of different cars, stealing, oh, no, who knows, tens of thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, you don't think that would warrant perhaps looking at them as a adult if they're at the age of 17? Are you telling me at the age of 17 they didn't know better to not break into cars, bust some windows and steal anything in there? Are you kidding me? Or embezzlement? So they're working at a company stealing cash or whatever it may be, or, you know, finding a way to skim off the top? Larceny? How about arson? 17-year-old going around, gets angry with ex or whatever it is, and goes and burns their family's home down when they're not there. You think perhaps that might be the action of an adult or someone that should be treated as a child? I'm just saying, these are nonviolent crimes. So if all you're saying is that raise the age means 17-year-olds should not be treated as adults, what about in these crimes? Because, you know, you already said violent crimes. Oh, no. Violent crimes are violent crimes. What about nonviolent crimes? Like, let's see, drug or alcohol-related crimes. Is it a violent crime if you're drug dealing? What if you're just selling drugs? Okay. What if you're making meth? Do you think some of these examples I'm giving you are pretty serious offenses that would be appropriate to try a 17-year-old as an adult? You don't accidentally do some of these things. I mean, there's a big difference between accidentally setting a home on fire and purposely setting a home on fire. Big difference. There's a big difference between finding a wallet on the ground and then busting someone's window open to steal their GPS or whatever out of their car. Here's some other things that are also considered nonviolent crimes. Harassment. We have cyberbullying going on like crazy, okay? Harassment. What if they're harassing people? Okay, you might be able to say, maybe treat them as a minor. Okay. Cyber crimes. Well, if it's nonviolent, let's say if they are going out there and they're scamming people out of money. What if they are scammers, 17-year-olds? And sometimes they can use intimidation in order to do this too. Sometimes it's a family member, an elderly family member. Bribery. I don't know if there's too many 17-year-olds using bribery, but still. Racketeering and gambling. Traffic offenses such as speeding. Let's see, various other types of crimes. Okay, so there's some other examples here of nonviolent crimes that I think are pretty serious crimes. But there's organizations out there, and it sounds like the city and county top prosecutors in town, Wesley Bell and Kim Gardner, would also support this, even though they didn't say they would take a side either way. But they were out there at this rally and make it sound like it's a very important issue, and it makes it sound like it's something they would support. I'm given the impression they would if they're up on stage during this presentation of why you should do it. So organizations pushing to raise the age in these cases so they don't get caught up in the pipeline. Am I just being too tough? Am I just being a little bit too much on this? 17-year-olds make mistakes. Judges could use and discern some of those situations. It doesn't mean that they have to go to the juvenile system. I mean, if you're caught burning a home down, or if you're caught breaking into cars, or if you're caught making meth and selling it, all right, not necessarily nonviolent crimes, but I would be very, you know, I would look at that and say, you got to be kidding if you're trying to dumb this down, put it into the juvenile court so the person would see no jail time for these very serious crimes. Here's the number, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's the phone number you can reach right here for Overnight America. KMOX. Overnight America. Here we are. Can you believe it? These nights go by so quick. Did anyone see Terminator this weekend? Not a lot of people did. In fact, very few people saw The Terminator this weekend. I was looking at Variety's website. They say Terminator fizzled, debuted at $29 million. And you may think to yourself, that's a lot of money, $29 million. Well, think of it this way. When the Joker movie came out, I think that started with over $100 million. And now it's the highest grossing R-rated film. That's just from the last couple of weeks Terminator was racking this stuff in. The Terminator franchise has just been gangbusters over the years. It's been a big money draw. The original Terminator and Terminator 2. James Cameron came back and was one of the was part of this project, director on this one. They brought back Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you know, they bring back some of the names you remember from the original movies. And they ended up spending on this $185 million to produce this. $185 million. So when the biggest weekend, the opening weekend, the one where you get the most money, only brings in $29 million. That's tough, because then you go overseas. It looks like the movie was expected to get over $40 million. So it was about $11 million off of what they anticipated. And $40 million seemed attainable because the reviews were pretty strong and people like Terminator stuff. Yeah, I remember Terminator. Man, that movie was so cool back in the day. I thought I was the coolest dude in the world. You know, you get to watch Terminator with your parents. You go to school and you say you saw Terminator. Man, I'm so cool. You find out everyone else did too. But it was just one of those neat cultural things. And still is. Now, overseas, it still made some money too. Eventually, you know, they'll make it eventually. But I think for the Terminator's sake, the merchandising, the licensing, the rentals, the DVD sales, all of those things are going to factor into having a bigger splash in order to make that money up. And I think once you get to the point where you're that big of a franchise, you sell all of them as a collection, and people go crazy for them anyway, and they love them so much anyway. So it's almost a no-lose situation, even if you spend that much money on it. You can't go cheap with those type of movies, too. If you're going to make a big blockbuster that has this giant historic backing, then you're going to don't want to mess around with it. But people say it was pretty good. Anyone see it this weekend? I don't plan on seeing it. These are types of movies I'll check out every once in a while if it pops up on a streaming device. But I just don't really have the motivation or the desire to see these much anymore. Let's see what else happened. Edward Norton's Motherless Brooklyn barely was in the top 10. So look at the big names in this one. Bruce Willis is in it. Alec Baldwin. Whoa. Ed Norton. It debuted with $3.6 million. Ooh, boy. It didn't take much to produce it, $26 million. They'll make up that for sure eventually when they get to it. But in general, movies are kind of on a low point right now. I think after the Joker thing, people are like all movied out for a little while. I think once you get a really hot movie, you get to that point where you're just fatigued. Oh, I just saw a really good one. It doesn't give you the motivation to go see more good movies. I think all it does is it fills up that meter if you had some sort of tank you needed to fill up for your entertainment tank. And then it's just like, okay, once it's full, you don't need to keep going to see it. I think even movie buffs, the ones that are out seeing movies all the time, I know they love it. It's like a hobby of theirs. They go and see these sort of things. But I feel like once you get fulfilled, you don't have that expectation that you need to go in to get fulfilled again. Like you feel happy. You're like, oh, I'm content with that sort of thing. I don't know if you missed this from earlier. Kevin Kline did an update to The Homeless Millionaire. Oh, this is so good. If you remember this series, you can go to KMOX.com and go in the archive and just search for The Homeless Millionaire because Gary is out there. Kevin's been searching for him. And do you think he may have an update?
Hey, Gary Schaefer, are you down there?
Is that the best you can yell?
I know, I'm getting old. Hey, Gary.
Gary! Gary Schaefer! Are you there?
It was back in September when St. Louis Alderman Joe Vaccaro and I were yelling into a Maplewood Creek trying to find his old friend Gary Schaefer, for whom Vaccaro says he had helped set up a bank account with the dying mother's money worth about $1 million. The search turned to Kirkwood, where many said they had seen him in the past on a blue bicycle, and he never asked for money.
Every time anybody wants to give him money, he will say no, thank you, and he just wants to be left alone.
He stays down about 100 yards away from here on a picnic table and sleeps there sometimes during the day.
But there was no sign of Gary Schaefer in the area for weeks until he turned up in a local care facility and agreed to an interview.
I'm tight. I'm cheap, if that's a good word for it.
You're a wealthy man.
But I don't see it that way.
But people would say, why is he living on the street under a bridge when everybody's out there in the rat race trying to make money to pay their mortgage? Is it better out there?
You answered the question yourself. Everyone is working their ass off trying to get even where I'm willing to take the disadvantage of not being...
Were you happy living on the streets?
Yes, I was.
What was happy about it? What's it like to have that freedom?
That's it. You just answered the question. You have freedom. And I don't have to get up and go to work. And other people do, even yourself.
I mean, most people, they can't even go on a camp out without wanting to get back to their home and take a shower and sleep in their bed.
Well, I have girlfriends.
Schaefer admits he did eat food out of trash cans from time to time, but he denies what the alderman said, that he likes to take a spot of turpentine for his health. With the winter approaching, I ask him if he was relieved he wouldn't be out on the streets.
It's not going to be so bad as you think, you know.
Do you want to get back on the streets?
Yeah, that's why I'm in here. I'm trying to get out.
Born free, as free as the wind.
As I was getting ready to leave the care facility, the nurses were putting in a movie called Born Free about the lion Elsa. A room full of other patients in wheelchairs were watching, but Gary Schaefer is still able to walk, and the nurses say he likes to walk a lot.
And beauty surrounds you.
With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Still astounds you. Wow. Each time you look at a star.
You know, am I really that free? Am I as free as the homeless millionaire. I don't know if I am. Happiness looks different to so many different people. I can't tell you I understand it myself. I can't tell you that I'll ever understand it. Can't tell you that I would ever want to give it a try. And Kevin's right about the idea of going camping. It's been a long time since I've gone camping. When I was younger, it was a little bit different. You know, it gives you something to do. You're out in the middle of nowhere. Feels like people leave you alone. You know, you have a fire. You got your friends. You don't have to worry about any devices. This is well before everyone had an electronic device they carried with them. You know, back when I was that age going out camping with my friends, you had like an emergency cell phone and you weren't allowed to use it. The emergency cell phone was there just for that, you know, in case there was an emergency. But you put it away and you just had fun with your buddies. And that's, you know, that was nice. But now as an adult, I'm such a comfort type of guy. Like I can't imagine going out and roughing it for an extended period amount of time. Like I guess I'll try it when my son gets old enough and he wants to go out and try these things. I'll do that. But I'm not going to be the guy that just does it for fun. Like, hey, family, let's go out and get this campfire going. Not going to do it. I want to be able to go to a nice, comfortable bed later tonight. I want to be able to shower in the morning. I want to be able to cook something in a stove. I want to be able to open my fridge and get something cold. I want to be able to sit down and watch a video and check my emails and see what's going on in the world. I want to do all of those things. None of those things are compatible with going out and living out in the wild. Now, I can't imagine having all that money and thinking that you're avoiding the rat race. When you have the money to avoid the rat race, you can do whatever you want with that money. Do you think the people at the bank where they hold the money, I don't know exactly where this money is situated, but you think if he walked in, they would call the police, not realizing he's the guy that's the account holder? Like they'd be a little skeptical. No, you're not. You're not the manager of this $1 million account. He's got a little turpentine under his arm, too. Now, I did mention that to Kevin. I texted him, and I said, oh, I'm so glad there's an update. Excellent job. And I said, that part where he says he doesn't take little sips of turpentine, did you believe him when he said that? Kevin messaged me back, and he said, I was just about to tell you. I got an update from one of the aldermen. He called me to correct the story. He said, yes, he takes little sips of turpentine. Maybe he calls it something else. Maybe he didn't want to say it for the interview because it's a little embarrassing. I wouldn't want to let people know I drink turpentine. How can that be good for your health? I don't know. But he's like 84 years old, something like that. 84 years old. He's up there in age. Seems to be all right for him. He seems to be in pretty good health. Maybe he needs a shave and a shower, a little bit of rest. And perhaps with a little bit of your money, how about you find a nice place to live and just retire there? My goodness, get off the street. It's getting cold. That's the homeless millionaire, the follow-up story. I'm so glad Kevin found it. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, here we are. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. Also, KMOX.com/ONA is a great way for you to listen to the show whenever you please. At your own digital speed, whatever that digital speed may be. I was looking through the AP Wire, and Stephen Kaufman did a story about holiday debt, racking up holiday debt. Are you one of those people that spend too much?
Millennials are more open to accruing debt during the holiday season than those who are older. The finding in a survey from creditcards.com. The survey said Rossman says 3 out of 5 are open to debt because of lifestyle and personal commitment.
Millennials love experiences, and that factors into the holiday travel angle. It also factors into this shared experience with your kids and your parents, your spouse and your siblings.
65% of those with kids under 18 say holiday debt is justified. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
Oh, boy. That's how you get yourself in trouble. Now, I know I am technically a millennial. I don't like it, but I definitely don't identify in a lot of different ways with other fellow younger millennials, maybe some of the older millennials. When I look back at the responsibility in the household when it comes to our finances, I feel like my wife, who's younger than I am, would fall into that. If we weren't married, she would definitely fall into that debt trap. Oh, I got to go and I have to do this. And oh, no, will you tell me I can't do this and I work hard. And if it wasn't for me, to ground her and tell her it's not a bad idea, or tell her it is a bad idea, then I don't have no idea where she would be right now. And I think she realizes that dynamic that we have, a dynamic that if it wasn't for the checks and balances there, that it would have some very serious issues, very serious issues to address financially. I just hope there's not a secret account anywhere. I'm just kidding. There's not. You know, millennials are the ones that would also order a home on Amazon and have it delivered to their house. This is something else that I don't understand. I look at the people that would buy a home to assemble on their property, and I think, huh, these are the type of people that also couldn't unclog a toilet to save their life. So how are they going to put together all of this? So from expandable solar-powered three-bedroomed homes, tiny homes alike, you can go to Amazon and buy the Timber House. That's what it's called. A wooden structure that comes complete with a living room, bathroom, kitchen, two bedrooms. And you'll have it delivered to your house. Free shipping included with the cost for $75,000. They say it's a far cry from a log cabin. In fact, it's actually just one shipping container stacked upon another. So once the 40-foot shipping containers are delivered to the building site, you take it from there. You have to install everything. You have to install the way to connect these containers, the stairs. You have to hook up the electrical, the plumbing. How many people would be able to do that on their own if you had to force it? So what are you going to do? You're going to buy this? Oh, $75,000. I'll put myself in debt, but oh, that's great. I'll have a home, a cabin to live in, two bedroom and a bathroom. Oh, this is wonderful. Then you're going to what? Go on YouTube and watch how to set up the electrical in your home properly? So what happens, too, if you mess some of this stuff up? What's your craftsmanship like? If you're someone to buy one of these things, do you have the ability to put this together so it'll last? You know, there's so many shoddy different problems you see with people that construct a home and they put it up and then they leave and you never hear from them or see them again. And then 10 years down the line, you see that there's all these issues beside the home. And then someone that knows a thing or two comes in and they'll look at it and they'll say, who built this? Then you're going to have to point the finger to yourself when they look at this and say, what in the world happened over here? One person said, it's not super complicated for me, a 59-year-old structural engineer. Oh, okay, I get it. So you have some understanding on how this works. But what about someone that's a novice? You know, I'm not Tim the Toolman Taylor or Bob Vila by any means, but I feel like I'd be able to do something like this. But I don't think I'd want to do something like this. This doesn't appeal to me. Even if this was a guest house for the in-laws, which, by the way, my in-laws are going to come into town this week. And I thought, wouldn't that be great if I had a shed for them to live in so they didn't have to come into the house? That would be awesome. Their own private shed. Just kidding, of course. I don't mind our in-laws being inside the house. But that's the type of thinking. I mean, what else are you going to use this for? Are you going to use this as your place where you live? You know, the homeless millionaire is happy living under a viaduct somewhere here in the St. Louis region or under a bridge or whatever it is. Then you have people over here that are willing to spend $75,000 on something they're going to screw up. They're not going to be able to do. Then they're going to have to call someone in to do the rest of the work for them. And then they're going to look in there and say, you got to be kidding. You bought this on Amazon. The two-story situation can't really work in much of a backyard escape. How do you think your neighbors would like it if you tried to have this delivered and pop this up in the backyard? They're going to think of it, yo, you're buying clubhouses now? What is it? You're going to rent it out? Now it's an Airbnb that you're renting out in your backyard. Now, some people think that it's a good idea. I don't. Now, if you're in California, this may be your only chance. You know, $75,000 in California is basically like $10,000 here in St. Louis, Missouri. Everything's so overpriced and expensive. So I can see you trying to make something like that work or accommodate it in some way. But still, what a crazy world we live in where you can get a two-story tiny home delivered to your home from Amazon. I would love to tour one of those Sears homes because I understand for many years Sears catalog used to sell homes. They deliver it in sections and you'd build this part and you get section two and then section three and you put it together and all the instructions were there. And a lot of those homes are still standing. That was at a time when a lot of people knew how to work with their hands and guys were handy and you just knew these things, right? Now you don't. No one pays attention to anything that is of value. People don't use their hands anymore. The fact that you're going onto a computer to order the materials to bring it to your house goes to show you, you don't know what it takes to do this sort of thing. Probably never stepped foot in a Home Depot or a Lowe's or a hardware store or anything. Nothing beats walking into a hardware store, by the way. That's the perfect smell. You know, there's the big stores like the Home Depots or whatever. You just don't get the same experience. You go into a small hardware store, man, I can stand in there for an entire year and just breathe that in. Beautiful. Well, that does it for us here at Overnight America. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. If you have a smartphone, it would be fantastic if you found a way to help the show by going online in going to whatever podcast app you use. There's many different ones out there. If you have Apple or Android, it's built right into your phone. If you don't know which one you have, you can always do the radio.com app, which is kind of cool. Just search for Overnight America. And when you find my face that pops up there, give me a nice review. 5-star review. It helps other people find this show. It helps a lot of anyone here. I love seeing it when other people enjoy it. I love to see all the different countries people enjoy it in. So you just search for Overnight America on there. We'll be back again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and I'm looking forward to spending some more time with you then. Have a great night.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.